Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
I suppose when you think about it, a lot of our interactions in life with our family or boss or whatever are a negotiation, trying to get your own way or trying to get a good compromise. And who better to give us some negotiating skills for daily life than an actual hostage negotiator who has literally written the book on it? Scott Walker, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Scott, you're ex-Scotland Yard, but you work in the private sector now. You've negotiated with kidnappers, pirates, cyber criminals, the works, and we'll come to that. But most of us are not going to have to do that. So let's start with a basic day-to-day kind of negotiation. Say somebody, they're in the supermarket, toddler's having a meltdown, blood pressure's going up, you want to react, and you want to react in a way you won't be proud of afterwards. You say the first thing we have to do is find our red centre. What is that?
Yeah, well, let's start at the beginning. Really, a negotiation is simply a conversation with a purpose, all right? And we need to be able to manage and regulate our own emotions, which is where this red center comes in.
Okay.
I mean, normally it's a physical place where the negotiations take place, but it's also part of, within all of us, you know, that place where we can just be calm, grounded and centered, so we can then have a meaningful conversation with whomever it happens to be.
Okay. So switch off the amygdala essentially and go to your kind of higher calm place.
Yeah, I mean, we're all victims at times of that emotional hijack, you know, when the amygdala gets activated and we get triggered or we get hooked or our hot buttons get pressed. And you're right, you gave the example there, the toddler in the supermarket wanting some sweets. And what does the adult say? No, little Johnny, you can't have sweets because you're going to spoil your dinner when you get home. But little Johnny doesn't really care and has a tantrum. And then the way around that, and again, I learned the hard way with this with my own kids, is you can't bring about calm, objective, rational thinking and behavior whilst people's emotions are out of sync, which is why it's important to start with about making sure people's emotions are balanced and regulated.
Okay, so next thing now, and this mightn't be as obvious to people, right? So say you're going to the boss looking for a raise, you're dealing with any conflict in the workplace or whatever. And in those situations, people can tend to view the other person, the person on the other side, as the enemy. And you say no, that we need to focus more on empathizing with them.
Yeah, I mean, what I'd say there is embrace conflict. Don't run away from having difficult conversations, all right? But that doesn't mean you've got to be shouting and arguing with people, but don't be afraid of having really difficult, at times, emotional conversations.
Really?
Because otherwise, we just skirt around the issues. But I think if we can stay balanced and calm, sit down, have those conversations with our boss or whomever, and try and look at it from their perspective as well. Okay, can I demonstrate my understanding of where they're coming from first? Then I kind of earned the right, started to build a bit of trust. Then I've earned the right to start actually interjecting or trying to influence or persuade what I want.
Okay, so give me a script or a trick for that in terms of how do I settle them first by acknowledging where they're coming from without giving ground?
Yeah, is it okay if I just share with you where I think you're at on this challenge, this problem, this deal, this issue, whatever? And you're going to go,
I'm feeling held already, Scott, when you say that. Yeah,
you know, is it okay if I just share with you? And I'm going to go, well, actually, it seems like this deal is really important for you. And you think I might be trying to rip you off, or I'm not focusing on it, or I'm not treating it as important as you think it should be. And you're going to go yes, no, or maybe, but at least I'm going to get some information as to what's really going on for you.
Oh my God, I'm putting in your hands. Okay, yeah. Okay, next tip. You're saying talk less and listen more. Silence is our friend in a negotiation, is it?
Yeah, people think the best negotiators are those who've got the gift of the gab, you know, always talking and telling stories. But actually, in my experience, the best negotiators, actually, they're really good listeners. Now, again, I learned this the hard way over many years, but we all think we're really good listeners. But actually, the reality is a lot of us are pretty poor. You know, we're always listening for just the gist of what's going on, or we're just waiting for our turn to talk, or often we don't actually wait for the other person to finish before we start talking. But really, we want to get to, I call it level five listening, where we want to be listening for, okay, well, what's the emotion or the point of view or the beliefs or the values or the rules or what are the main issues going on for the other person? And they will tell you that if you just listen rather than just waiting for your turn to talk.
Okay. So you have some tips that you sum up in the acronym More Pies, and we won't get through them all, but I'd say we could do some of them fairly quickly. So what are minimal encouragers?
Yeah. You know, it's little encouragers, it's little sounds to exactly what you've just done there, so which is just encouraging the other person to keep talking without asking questions.
Excellent, excellent. And the more they talk, of course, the better for you probably, if you keep them talking. Open questions?
Yeah, open questions. They just elicit something more than a yes or no. And often if we can start those questions with tell me, explain, describe, you know, think of TED, T-E-D. That's always a good way of getting those open questions out there.
Okay, a good way of getting those open questions out there. Do you see what I'm doing there?
You reflected back to me. And again, the good thing with mirroring or reflecting back some of the key words is it sounds less like an interrogation.
Okay. So you're almost kind of in sync with them if you're saying back the words to them. I'm loving this. What's emotional labeling then?
Yeah, it seems like you're really interested in this conversation. You know,
You got me there. Yeah.
it sounds like, it looks like, it seems like, it feels like. I'm not saying you are interested. I'm saying, hey, it sounds like, or it seems like you're interested in this conversation. You want to learn more.
Okay. I feel like you're enjoying this conversation too. See what I did there? so if I'm right, what you're saying to me is that we should say back to people, how you feel about their conversation. I mean, that was a very blundered attempt at paraphrasing. You explain paraphrasing instead.
Paraphrasing is simply, you're just reflecting back your understanding of what they said, particularly if they've downloaded quite a lot of information to you or said it's an important conversation, there's lots of emotions. You go, hang on, can I just check in with you? Can I just make sure I understand you right? I understand you correctly. And by doing that, you're demonstrating your willingness to understand where they're coming from. And it's that cliche that's been around for since the dawn of time. Seek first to understand before being understood. Okay. And it goes such a long way to building that trust as well.
Okay. And then let's finally just quickly do I statements and effective pauses.
I statements, this is when you take ownership for how you're feeling. You know, well, I feel X, Y, and Z, as opposed to apportioning blame. And then in all of the negotiations I've used, all the interrogations, interviews I've done in previous careers, the most effective technique was actually the use of silence and effective pauses. Because as human beings, we get uncomfortable with that and we just love to fill the gaps with saying something or making some kind of sound rather than sitting there in silence.
Okay, good.
Nicely done.
Yeah, thank you. So come here, that's like stuff we can all do in our everyday lives. What's the key in a hostage negotiation where obviously the stakes are hugely high and everything?
Yeah, it tended to focus the mind a little because if we messed up, people could die. So it tended to work out what worked and what didn't. And at the end of the day, though, you've got to not forget that kidnappers are just businessmen trying to get the best deal. And when you also understand that emotions drive all behavior, you know, we're feeding creatures that think. And so if we can understand getting under the surface, getting 2-3 levels below what's being presented, we can find out what's driving the other person. It's the same with kidnappers as it is in business, as it is dealing with your kids. And so it's not being afraid of having difficult conversations. You know, the kidnappers may demand €1 million, but they're only ever going to get, say, 50,000. I'm going to have a difficult conversation with them to kind of manage some expectations there.
Yeah, and key to how you do that?
Is being, you know, professional, being not being rude or belligerent, and it's just setting out your storm, you know. But you've got to go through the seeing it from their perspective first, you know. So you've got to kind of present where you think they're at. And you do that in the preparation. I call it the bunch of fives. You know, you can apply this to any situation. What are the top five issues, threats, challenges, questions, obstacles that if you were the other side and you wanted to be devil's advocate, what would you do? What would you levy against you?
Okay. Fascinating, Scott. I love that. Okay. Order Out of Chaos, A Kidnapped Negotiator's Guide to Influence and Persuasion is out now in paperback. Scott Walker, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.